Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is October 7th, episode 297. And we're going to get into a kind of a hearty conversation on the ugly side of politics.
Well, we hope it'll be hearty.
It will be hearty.
And we hope it won't be too ugly.
It won't be. And the reason we can say that is we have, of course, just put out the magazine for the October issue.
Bad magazine. Get out there, magazine. Get out. And it's like I put it out.
Yeah, not put it down. Put it out. And that's not in a fire either. Why I brought that up was we always have a section that we do our opinion piece, mm-hmm. so to speak, in the magazine.
Some of us were acrimonious.
You were. You went on acrimonial rant. And I did in my own way. I had a column this issue called Truth, Justice, and the American Way? And so we wanted to look at, with everything that's been going on recently, for instance, and something I write about is the League of Women Voters of Illinois decided not to include third-party candidates in their recent debate.
In Chicago, yeah.
And so many people were upset about that for so many reasons, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, but I focused on that in my article in the magazine this month. And you were upset for lots of reasons. And you elaborated on those. So we're going to talk about those here, but also with the Kavanaugh recent appointment.
Yeah, to the Supreme Court. And, you know, all of the acrimony that has brought about that's a common word these days. To be upset, to be acrimonious, to be, you know, up in arms.
Right. You know? And what we want to do is take a little different look at that. Not what you're hearing on mainstream media, not what you're finding with the animosity towards each other, but who is marginalized in that. And that is, in that conversation as presented on mainstream media and even in other social media sites.
Well, you said the other night, watching television, we were watching this stuff on TV, and the commentators are what really got you cranked up whenever they start talking about both sides of the aisle. And talking about the left and the right. Well, no, wait a minute. What about the center?
Mm-hmm.
What about those people that you're shutting out of the process?
Right, the third party supporters, the independent candidates, the people who don't vote for all kinds of reasons but are eligible to vote. Where is the conversation that includes them? And it's right here. It's in our magazine. It's on our podcast. And we are tired of being
told we don't count.
Told we don't count. And then when you look at it, it's so marginalized, they don't even mention us. We're not even told we don't count. They just don't count us.
We were looking, just a few seconds ago, we were looking at Illinois election results, and this is between Clinton and Trump,
and
Johnson, and
Jill Stein.
Mm-hmm. And yes, it was a four-way race.
There were also other people involved in that election.
Right. I'm almost going to be guilty of this because I don't know their names, but I do know that of the four people that I mentioned, you never heard boo or anything about the last two afterward, you know, because why? To the mainstream media, they didn't count. But let me tell you something about Gary Johnson's vote totals in Illinois. For that reason, it's very important to know that they had 5.9% in this county.
Well, and I want to specify, in case people aren't familiar with Gary Johnson, most of our listeners will be because we referred to him often, but he was the Libertarian Party candidate who had also been governor of New Mexico. So he came on board with years of experience. He was a Republican governor. He became a Libertarian, and as many of us come from other parties, and as we learn that this is what works for us, which this party best represents our philosophical beliefs and the way we want to conduct our lives and do business and that kind of thing. But like you said, Don, right here in Bond County, 5.9%.
Is that right? Am I right? 5.9?
Yes.
It was five point something for sure.
Yeah.
But there were other counties in the state that had similar population numbers and similar percentages because of the local activity of the LP chapters, the Libertarian Party of Illinois chapters, in those neighborhoods, in mm-hmm. those counties. And I'm going to go ahead and just for the hell of it say, I think we had something to do with it too with the Elk Creek Gazette.
Well, yeah, because we presented the other sides of the conversation. And that's what I really believe, and this is not new to me, but the mainstream media, in conjunction with the status quo old parties, and I'm referring to the Republicans and Democrats, and the parties of that, not the individual Republican and Democrat. We all know those people personally that we like, admire, have more alike than differences. I'm talking about the parties themselves and the powerhouses behind that. They want to make sure that those options, those voices, those alternative thinkers are not represented, are not heard, are not spoken about. And in so doing, they control what we think about ourselves, or at least they try to. They control how we think about other people, and we begin to view the world from this totally small lens that can't look outside right or left. And we know the whole world has more than right or left in their minds. We know that
there's always mitigating circumstances.
Sure.
And whenever you can't talk about those mitigating circumstances publicly, when you can't talk about your thoughts because your thoughts are never presented in what you're viewing in television or what you're listening to on the radio, it causes it to automatically be slighted. It causes it to automatically be ruined, and it causes marginalization. You are notes in the margin lines on the sides of any document. That's where that comes from, folks. Marginalization means I was scribbled in the margins.
And think how insulting that is, especially when we were looking at, for the average amount of people that are of voting age in the United States, we looked up and it said about 60% go to the polls, which I thought was high. I thought it was much lower than this.
I thought it was very high, yeah.
But 60% of the people will go to the polls to vote during a presidential race.
Right.
Off years, about 40% go.
Yeah. In the midterm.
Polls.
Yeah, the midterms,
right.
Yeah.
So I still thought that was high, but let's give them that total.
In Illinois alone, 8 million people have the capacity to vote.
Mm-hmm.
66% was the vote total in the presidential race.
So that was a little higher than the national average,
right,
of what we found.
That was 5.3 or so million people voted. You do the math, and that's 66%. Well, you also do the math, and that means that there's 2.4 million people out there that didn't vote the way that you thought they should have, but they just didn't vote. Well, that's a huge resource we need to pay more attention to, is why they didn't vote. That's all I got to say about that.
Well, and then you take that percentage, like I was going to say, on the 40%, on the years that they speculate 40% will generally vote.
Mm-hmm.
Then of that 40%, of course, then the flip side is 60% aren't voting.
Right.
Then of the 40% who did, not all of them voted Republican and Democrat. So mm-hmm. we were looking real quick, and if we totaled up Gary Johnson, Jill Stein, and then other is how they had those other poor candidates listed. It's just other. And sometimes that includes write-in votes. But anyway.
How's your margin?
Right. So what we figure that was like 6%.
Yeah.
Maybe 7%. So if you look at that, then you take that off the top of that low 40% already. And pretty soon you're seeing 60 to 70% of the people who could vote have not heard their opinion expressed on television or radio and in many newspapers. They not heard their candidate be permitted on a debate stage. Talk about marginalization. Talk about looking over these 60 to 70% of Americans.
They're
that are
telling us we don't count.
Exactly. And that's what I'm so irritated with. If my candidate gets up and does his or her thing and loses fair and square, that's one thing. But to not even be considered, and it goes beyond just candidates and elections. It goes into how we were spoon-fed with the Kavanaugh case, what someone thinks versus what someone else thinks. But what about the people on the outside of that? Or what about the people who looked at that and said, I want to know more, or I can see where mistakes were made on both sides, or whatever the case is, I don't want to be told that this group of people is opposing this group of people based on this thing without any consideration of all those opinions outside of what they're spoon feeding us.
Well, we made the comment too when we were watching those hearings and watching the votes go through. Even the procedural votes, whenever they're going through the procedural votes, they're talking about the left and the right side of the earth. The you can see that there's a division line down the center of the Senate chamber. Well, there's 50 people over here that have this opinion. There's 50 people over there that have that opinion.
And then there's all of the other Americans that have some of those shared opinions. But what about the people that don't share any of those opinions?
Well, we're going to do what we can in our remaining years on this planet to change the way we perceive and change the whether or not there's another aisle up that damn building.
Right. And speaking of that, it reminds me that, of a post, and Kyle Littlefield made this. Kyle is one of our city council.
He's a councilman. Yeah.
And I really liked the whole quote, and then I brought to the conversation what you just said about there's more. Why in this great big world would we limit ourselves to one aisle?
Right.
So anyway, let me read this quote, and it's really good food for thought. It is a quote from Lucy Shaw from the book Friends for the Journey. What would it look like to have friendships with those who are not like us, wherein we learn to argue well and lovingly, and yet at the end of the day, we can still be friends? This is a lost art in our culture, particular as we create ever narrower, taller, insular silos on social media, cut off from the opposing viewpoints, where with a mere click of the button, we can unfriend and unfollow those whom we disagree. And meanwhile, we learn to studiously avoid those difficult topics at the Thanksgiving dinner that can disrupt the false unity a sentimental holiday too often creates. False unity is no healthier than silos of like-mindedness. We need iconoclast, mentors, and friends that push us, that challenge our narrowness, and yet still affirm our humanity. What would it mean to meet in person, on purpose, in good faith, with someone whose perspective is vastly different than ours, to argue face-to-face without rancor, without demeaning the humanity of the other? What would it mean to allow yourself to acknowledge areas where you might in fact agree, or even more, to allow yourself at times to be persuaded, if not wholly to the other person's perspective, at least to meet halfway? This is what it means to live life with those who don't insist that everything, including our own persons, be either or. Rather, we can be both and. And I took that one step farther and said, why both and? Why not three and four and more and? We're not limited to two sides. We're not limited to left or right. And nobody in the real world, in your daily life, that's not how life is.
No, not at all.
If you have customers that come in your front door, or if you're a service person and you go offer your service to somebody, there are opinions shared. There are alternatives looked at. If something's broken, there's not necessarily just one way to fix it, and maybe not two. And I've seen, Don, you build tools to fix something. Mm-hmm. So you show daily that there's more ways to fix it. The real world doesn't live this way. The media and the Republican and Democratic powers that be, I believe, continue to make sure we only see two sides and that we only think that there are two sides. And then they control those two sides.
And then whenever you have, you know, young men like Kyle Littlefield that make a post on social media like this that is in support. And you know, this young man is in a position of, it's a half, you know, important position in a small community to be one-fifth of a city council. It is amazing that he is thinking this on his own. He's not asked, he's not being told to, he's not being, I'm so damn proud of him. I just, you know, you just want to hug him.
Well, that's why I went ahead and added my two cents worth of the conversation. I noticed that Kyle was very adamant about the third-party candidates being included in mm-hmm. the League of Women Voters of Illinois debate because, again, all voices should be heard. And I went ahead and responded. I mentioned a little bit about what I said to Kyle, but also this is something I added to that conversation I want to share here. It reminded me of two of my favorite quotes, and one is by Senator Barry Goldwater, "To disagree, one doesn't have to be disagreeable." And that should be obvious. Diplomacy should be the way, especially people in public office, run their lives. But all of us can benefit from diplomacy and not being disagreeable. And then this other quote is one of the second quotes I added to this conversation, and it was the quote by Aristotle. "It is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it." That's where I think we've failed so long now. People just don't say anything. I don't want to hear that, you know? And it's like, wait a minute. I didn't always think the way I think now.
Yeah.
I didn't get here by myself.
Right. You had to think about it along the way.
Right. And I want to think about it. And I want to know something. I don't want to always think like I did when I was 2 and 5 and 10 and 12 and 19. And
well, you know, and by the same token, we heard today on in the news cycle when we're watching it this morning, we heard that how terrible it was that Kavanaugh went off on a senator. Well, you know what? He went off on a senator because he's been accused of something he didn't do in his heart and his mind. He was accused of being part of a gang rape. You know? I think that would piss me off a little bit, too.
Right. And I don't know if that's exactly what the accusation was. I've heard it reported like that. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless,
when he had his fill of it, he went off
exactly
on a senator, and he has subsequently apologized
right
to her personally.
But I do think that if you're an innocent person of anything you're charged with, you have the right to be outraged. You have the right to be furious. You're a human being, for heaven's sakes. And if you tried to nicely say that you didn't do something, and then you're fighting for your life, so to speak, your reputation, I can understand being outraged too. And again, we'll never know what really happened in that scenario. No mm-hmm. one can know
no,
except the people that were actually there. And I know that a lot of our friends on Facebook are adamantly supporting Professor Ford.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a whole slew of people, you know, adamantly be in support of Kavanaugh. I think what we're saying is that we wish that it had been handled differently. I think a lot of people agree with that in general. But no matter what your take on this, this is one thing in a larger problem that we are divided in. And if we let the media determine how we behave by spoon-feeding us against them, you against me, they're bad, you're good. Sometimes good people do bad things. Sometimes bad people do good things. Sometimes we all make mistakes, and sometimes we can talk it out and become better for it. So much is not black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the people in charge, the status quo in a grander scale, I think really want to see happen because it conveniently keeps them in power. If all sides are opened up and all viewpoints are looked at with respect, they may lose the power that they have because then new ideas rise to the top and people go, wait a minute, I never thought of that. And that's a good thing.
Michael Voris today, is somebody else that we follow, put out the notion that he's got enough time as it is invested in just making sure he tells the truth when he reports. And that in and of itself is probably enough. Hey, we need to take a break. We'll be right back.
Looking for a night of laughs at the theater? Then come to the Factory Theater at Greenville University to experience Charlie's Aunt, a classic comedy set in late 19th century England. This family-friendly performance will have you laughing out loud at mistaken identities, ridiculous physical comedy, and a hilarious cast of college students and community members. Showtimes are October 25th through 27th and November 1st through 3rd at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are on sale in Greenville at Watson's Drug, Adam Brothers Coffee House, or Joe's Java. Or look on our Facebook page to purchase tickets online. The Factory Theater is located at the corner of Harris and Elm in Greenville, Illinois. Questions? Call 618-322-5631. Again, that's Charlie's Aunt at the Factory Theater at Greenville University. You won't want to miss it.
And hey, we're back. And before we get into it, one more time to get my dander back up. Richard Barth is the winner of our free giveaway of the ticket for the Owl Creek Gazette autumn dinner. So, Richard, you just give us a jingle, let us know what you want to do, and we'll figure it out.
Congratulations, Richard Barth. And to add to that, speaking of the autumn dinner, tomorrow is the last day for folks to purchase a ticket, $20 for an individual. And you can purchase them on the website at owlcreekgazette.com. We've got a good number of already signed up, but it's always cool to have more people join us around the table.
As long as we know about it ahead of time.
That's right.
It's showing up. That's why you're buying in advance.
So. Right. So our autumn dinner is the 13th of October.
This Saturday night.
Yeah. And before that, then, we have our Owl Creek Gazette Owl Project art exhibit that is right down here at Adam Brothers Music and Coffee House. It will be here starting Thursday at 7 o'clock, and it will run through Saturday at 2, according to Adam Brothers hours.
Yeah, normal schedule.
Right. Now, back to that dander, Don.
I'm settled down a little bit.
Well, and this will settle you down even more because this is really nice. Speaking back of Kyle's post, he went ahead and did a little assessment of the people who had commented on his post and what they had said and kind of their backgrounds, too. And this goes to the heart, again, of what we're saying, that there's never just left or right, black or white, conservative or liberal. And here's what he said. At this point, 26 people have liked or commented on the post we're talking about, indicating some level of agreement, because everyone had something good to say about this. The group of people includes conservatives, liberals, libertarians, political independents, religious, secular, Protestant, Catholic, atheists, men, women, with post-secondary degrees, without post-secondary degrees, those who are vocal about their opinions, those who tend to keep them to themselves, those who live in the Northeast, the Midwest, the Northwest, the South, those I know well, those who I don't know well, baby boomers, Gen X, millennials, iGen, and no doubt many other demographics, and many more demographics that are missing from that particular group but would be included in your own groups. If we were all together discussing almost anything, there would be a whole wide variety of experiences and philosophy and core beliefs which would have us express a wide variety of strongly held conflicting opinions. But one thing we do seem to agree on is the value of meeting people where they are in good faith with open minds and be partners in figuring out the important things in life. And at the end of the day, continuing to recognize the dignity and value we all inherently possess. So friends, let's live our shared value together and let us go forth and do likewise.
Once again, a good reason for me to have said, hug your councilman today. Young man needs a hug. And Kyle, if you're listening, hug, hug, hug. So there you go.
Well, and it goes to, I keep saying it goes to the heart of, but it does so much because the media would generally not report something like that. It's up to us to turn the TV off if it's objectionable, to turn the radio channel if it's objectionable, pick up a different newspaper if they're limiting thought. If you go to any source of media or any school or any event that only tells you there are two sides to life, to the way you want to live your life, to the way you want to view your life, then think again, step back and say, wait a minute, there's more here. And I know my friends have such varieties of thinking that I don't want to limit them. I don't want to limit me. And I don't want the news to tell me how I'm supposed to behave or think or act.
When your great grandparents or your grandparents came to this melting pot, which is what this is supposed to be, you know, we're supposed to be part of a grander stew, a better chili, as if you want to call it that. We can do a better chili than what we're doing.
Well, and I've also heard people call it as more like a salad, a tossed salad, where we're all in there together, which is kind of cool, too. But the pickles and the green peppers aren't fighting each other. It's a salad.
Right.
So even if you don't want to meld to the point that you're a stew, if you just want to go ahead and coexist comfortably with each other in that salad form, any way you look at it, there doesn't need to be animosity because I don't believe like you do. And I've said this before when I was young growing up, and very few of my friends were in the same churches together. Sunday morning, we'd all get up, we'd all go to our separate churches, we'd all get back together, and when we were little, we'd play, or, you know, as we got older, we'd go do our things. Sunday afternoon, no one questioned the other person. No one said, you know, you're bad because you don't go to my church. It just didn't happen. And that's the way we need to live, with respect for each other, but open-minded with the fact that we will, as we take in new information, we may change our viewpoints. And why wouldn't we if we hear something new?
Yeah, and I even said today out loud that, you know, I grew up in a neighborhood that was mixed race neighborhood, just, mm-hmm. you know, in the south end of Centralia. It was no big deal. I had friends that were black. My black friends had friends that were white.
Mm-hmm.
We played basketball together on the court at Field School. You know, they were better than me. Lots of people were better than me in sports, but by George, I could rebuild a carburetor and run rings around them.
Mm-hmm.
And at 7, 8, 9 years old, that's what I was doing. I was building go-karts like a fiend. You know, mm-hmm. that was my good part. You know, had a general contractor dad, had a good supply of materials. What the heck? You know, I know what to do with it, you know, and have fun. We didn't see each other as black or white. Mm-hmm. We didn't see each other other than friends. And, you know, there's Linda Timberlake is the one that I was thinking about today. And I kept saying to myself, you know, over the last few days when I've seen her on Facebook, have I ever done anything that was untoward to her? And I don't believe I ever did. And if I did, Linda, and you hear this, let me know. That's the way out of these problems.
Exactly. If we've done something wrong, we can be sorry. We can learn from it. Sometimes we just don't. What is it? We always quote Maya Angelou, when we know better, we do better.
Yeah.
If someone is at a place in their life that they don't agree with you, and you remember being in that place yourself, sometimes it's okay to say, I understand why they're there and why they're thinking that way, because I did too. I moved past that, but the time was right for me to move past that. The situation was right. I was open to it, whatever it is. So, you know, how about we just build a path? And I've talked about this
instead of building a wall.
Right. And make stepping stones. If you want someone to come along with you and you want to teach them what you know, hoping that they will believe eventually what you believe or agree with a point of view you're trying to make, don't shut them out and ostracize them. How's that working for you?
It's not working with a dang.
So put those stepping stones out, put that bridge out, whatever it is, and say, come on with me. And at the end of the day, like Aristotle said, I can entertain a thought and choose not to accept it, but I don't have to dislike the person that had the thought that was different than me, or I don't have to condemn that person. They have every right to believe they want to, and if I want to pull them my direction, I have to reach out. I can't pull anybody if I don't reach out.
That's exactly right. How can you go forward if you don't have some traction?
Mm-hmm.
You know, have traction with the people that you like. Have traction with the people that you don't seem to like, and see what common ground you can have with them.
Right, and don't let the media tell us or the status quo political parties that we have to do what we've always done. We don't.
If you always vote the way you've always voted, you'll always get what you always got.
Right. And if no one's happy with that, or if the majority aren't happy with that, go ahead and don't be afraid this time to vote differently. Don't be afraid to speak your mind, and don't be afraid to turn off the media that will only give you two sides. And don't be afraid to let them know. We wrote quite a few letters to the League of Women Voters of Illinois. Read our articles if you haven't picked up the magazine, if you can get them online, owlcreekgazette.com. You can read the latest issue and read Don's acrimonious rant.
Be acrimonious with me,
right,
if you would.
And read my part about, is this the American way? That what we're seeing now, is this truth, justice, in the American way? I don't think it is, and I think we can hearken back to those days and build on what we know to be true, and don't be beaten over the head or browbeaten by someone who wants to keep us close-minded.
There you go. Well, hey, that's the music is playing in the background once again.
The owls are calling us. Wouldn't it be nice if we could go out to Owl Creek and relax?
We can. We'll just listen then.
Okay. Join us at the creek here right now, folks.
Y'all take care now. Bye-bye.